This passage back in Matthew is an encouragement to those who are suffering greatly in the time of the worst tribulation that the world will ever see. It's an encouragement. Although all hell is breaking loose, the world is self-destructing, what God says will happen, will happen.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we'll continue our look at the end times, and in specific, the second coming of Christ.
You know, Dave, we've been methodically moving our way through the book of Matthew, and now we're near the end of this book where we find some amazing revelation concerning the end times. So Jesus, speaking to his disciples in Matthew 24 and 25, gives us a sneak preview into the events of the last days. Now today, our focus is on the Lord Jesus' return to rule and reign as King. Our text is Matthew 24. We're going to be looking at verses 32 to 35.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Disobedient and erroneous pastors and teachers will wrongly say that this generation speaks of the apostles' generation. Therefore, it must have happened already. It can't have happened already because the abomination of desolation hasn't come in the holy place. Christ has not come visibly yet. It cannot have happened. They are wrong. All these things have not taken place. It must speak of another generation. And as we have studied this passage, it speaks of the generation alive during the tribulation. It's an encouragement. He's going to come. It's not going to delay. He's going to come during your generation. He's coming to you guys. He's right at the door. Don't be discouraged. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And again, what are all these things? You cannot read Matthew 24 honestly and say all these things have happened already. You can't. Like I said, Christ hasn't come visibly. There hasn't been a tribulation so great that it had to be stopped or all else would cease. The Jews have not been sovereignly protected by God in the wilderness. They haven't fled in obedience to his word, believing Jews. Folks, these things haven't happened yet. Now, some say that it happened in a hidden way, that it happened in 70 AD, but it was spiritualized. Christ came to the hearts. Folks, that's just baloney. It's not true. It's not true. They may be nice guys and sound very biblical, but they are very wrong. And the outcome of these type of interpretations impugns the faithfulness of God to his word. It is very serious. Did the apostles die? Yes. Has a generation of the apostles passed away? Yes. Have all these things taken place yet? No. Truly I say to you, Jesus says, this generation will not pass until all these things take place. Folks, we have to recognize that people with different theologies that contradict the word of God are attacking the veracity of God's faithfulness. Jesus says to those who will be alive in the tribulation, to those who will see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, to those who flee according to his word, to those who are tempted by false Christ but don't succumb. He says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And folks, I get upset when I see people misinterpreting God's word. It pains my heart to see that. It pains my heart to see believers being taken captive and tantalized by people who are not dividing the word rightly, who are using straw man arguments to woo people away from the truth of the word of God. Clearly, Jesus says, truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things take place. For those true believers alive during this time, the most wicked time the world will ever see, where Satan's wickedness and deception is at its max, those who are waiting for Christ, they might be tempted to be discouraged. Jesus is making clear, this generation will not pass away. When you see all these things, he is right at the door, and he's coming for you. He's going to slay his enemies, but he's coming for you. He'll gather his elect. Now notice, as we continue, Jesus affirms that they're to know his word is surer than even heaven and earth, that he'll do what he says. Again, verse 35, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus is saying his word is more sure than the ground you stand on and the stars that you see. His word is more sure than the creation that we are dependent upon. His word is more sure. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Here we have the declaration that heaven and earth will pass away. But in contrast, the Lord Jesus' words shall not pass away. And here we have the Lord commenting on the very nature of his word. God's word is sure. What he says he will do, you can bank on it. The reality is, even though heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, Jesus says, will not pass away. God's word is surer than the creation itself. He is using an illustration by contrast to show how sure his word is. Now, when are heaven and earth going to pass away? You say, wait a second, it doesn't sound very good. And yes, heaven and earth, this current heaven and earth is being reserved for destruction, destruction of ungodly men. That's when Christ comes to judge sin and sinners and save Israel, as we'll see. This present heaven and earth are being prepared to be destroyed for a new heavens and earth. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we see Peter declare this very truth. 2 Peter chapter 3. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. Don't get too at home here, folks. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. We need to see and know and have our focus on Christ, not the things of this earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water by water, through which the world at this time was destroyed, being flooded by water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire. By the word of God, he created it all. By the word of God, it was flooded. By the word of God, he is preserving it. And by his word, he will destroy it. He says, but this present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire. That's what this earth and heavens are being kept for. Kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. God is going to destroy those who reject Christ, who are still in their sins. He's going to do it. But he says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as, not equals, don't make that mistake. It's as, it's metaphoric, as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as, he says here, one day, the Lord is not slow about his promise. His promise to what? To come again and to bring about a new heavens, to bring about judgment and then redemption. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is delaying so that there is those who repent and are saved. I praise the Lord he didn't come in judgment before he saved me, because he could have, and I deserved it, and so did you. But he's patient. And he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Heaven and earth will pass away. But Jesus says back in Matthew 24, 35, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus Christ came first in grace. He came, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Not saving all men, but bringing salvation to all men. The truth of the gospel that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose from the dead. But he will come again in judgment. And when all that is finished, heaven and earth will be destroyed. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And if you read farther on in 2 Peter, where righteousness dwells. And our passage, he's saying to these Jewish believers who are in terrible tribulation, the great tribulation. He's encouraging them that everything he said will happen. His words will not pass away. Folks, we need to recognize, because God is faithful, his word is faithful. Remember, Paul tells Titus that elders must be holding fast the faithful word. God's word is faithful. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. In Psalm 119, which we just finished, the longest chapter in the Bible, a chapter devoted entirely to the word of God and the God of the word, the psalmist declares in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119:86, "All thy commandments are faithful." 1 Kings 8:56, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to that all he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant." Not one word has failed. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6. A voice says, "Call out." Then he answered, "What shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness like the flower of the field." Verse 7, Isaiah 40, "The grass withers and the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Turn up a little bit to Isaiah 56 and hold your finger there. We need to recognize that God's word stands forever. God does not change, neither does his word. In encouraging Hebrew believers in chapter 13, those believers who are to remember those who led them, who gave them the word of God, who most likely were gone now, that he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. God's word will accomplish what he ordains. God's word is powerful because it is his word. It is based on him and his character and his nature. And here in our passage, God is affirming the veracity or truthfulness and faithfulness of his word. He will accomplish what he says. Is that not what he says in Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent." God's word is sure. God's word is faithful. And one of the greatest problems I see in believers' lives today is that they don't believe what God says. When he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart," right? People don't believe that. God's word is sure when it is rightly divided in its context and applied rightly. It is sure. Jesus says here, "Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Brother and sister, if you get nothing else from this, I pray you recognize God is faithful and his word is sure. Every bit, absolutely trustworthy. Folks, your view of God and his word is at the core of your relationship with Christ. It's what you believe. We believe what he said concerning the truth of him. If you don't believe God's word's faithful, you don't believe God is faithful. When you doubt God, his word, you are doubting him. This passage back in Matthew is an encouragement to those who are suffering greatly in the time of the worst that the world will ever see. It's an encouragement. Although all hell is breaking loose, the world is self-destructing. What God says will happen. And again, this is why I'm so strongly against those who misinterpret these passages specifically, because it attacks the veracity of God's word and the faithfulness of God himself. Those who would misinterpret this through their foolish interpretations are Satan's tools to impugn the faithfulness of God. And it's no small thing to misinterpret God's word and then teach it to others. Again, back to our passage. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God spoke the creation into existence through his powerful word. And he brings forth us, his new creation, into existence through his powerful word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In the exercise of his will, James 1:18, he brought us forth by the word of truth. As Peter told Timothy concerning the wisdom that leads to salvation, it comes from the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He uses his word to perform its work in those who believe, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:13. Like newborn babes, we are to long for the pure milk of the word, that by it we may grow in respect to salvation, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And it is God's word alone that equips us for every good work. All scripture, written word, graphe, is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. Jesus is making the point that what he says will be accomplished. We need to remember this, brothers and sisters. What he says is true. You can count on it. It is surer than the ground that you stand on. It is surer than the creation. It is surer than heaven and earth. What are the implications? Watch out for those who twist God's word. Watch out for those who lessen God's word, who set it aside. The untaught and the unstable who distort as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Instead, show yourself to be approved, handling accurately the word of God. Be in the word of God. The blessed man, Psalm 1, meditates in the word day and night, not just to know it for the sake of whatever it might be, but to be close, to know Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and to obey what he says. There are so many applications, but here we see Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass, but my words will not pass. So then, how are tribulation disciples to live in light of his coming? They're to understand his coming's imminent. He's right at the door. When you see all these things, he is right at the door. Secondly, they are to be encouraged. His coming will come during their generation. They will not pass away. And thirdly, they are to know his word is surer than heaven and earth. He will do what he says. So how does this apply to us? Again, as I've shared over and over again, God will do what he says. And he is coming again. And if you're in your sins, he's coming to judge you. You see, whether he comes and judges you or whether you die, it is appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. God is now declaring to all men everywhere, all should repent. Because he has fixed a day, Acts 17, verse 31, in which he will judge the world in righteousness through the man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. God's word is sure. He's going to judge you for your sin. No matter what you think, no matter how you feel, God has declared the wages of sin is death. You will be judged for your sin. But Christ, he bore our sins in our place. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the penalty that God requires. And he died and he rose from the dead. And being God, death could not hold him. He paid the penalty. And if you turn, understanding your sinfulness, turn to Christ. If you repent, that's turning to him, turning to God from sin, acknowledging your sin, acknowledging that he is Lord. If you call out to him, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you acknowledge your sinfulness and that Christ has died for your sins and rose from the dead, you cry to him and he'll save you. What about us believers? We're not in the tribulation. We're not there. But we are awaiting Christ's coming, aren't we? His coming for us is imminent. You see, we have his coming for us at any time. It is imminent. We are awaiting. If you look at Titus chapter 2, let's take a look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus has just shared sound doctrine concerning how we are to live in different relationships. And then he explains how it can be done. How can you do the things that God calls you to do? He says, next explanation, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. You got to be saved first, right? But that same grace in Christ is instructing us, verse 12, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And what does he say? Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. We should be anxiously awaiting the coming of Christ in which he will transform us, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, with the power that he has to exert us, to bring us to glory, to change us. So how should these passages affect us? Should we be making charts and watching for signs? If that's what you're doing, you've missed it completely. God's word, he uses it to convict us of sin and to make us like Christ. One last passage, brothers and sisters. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. If you're studying end times events just simply for information or excitement, you are sorely wrong of the reason in which God has ordained his word goes out. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. The coming of Christ for us should motivate us to become more like Christ, because he's going to finish the job that he started. And let me read 2 Peter also, just the last portion of that also. Turn 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 again. And we'll finish with this. Breaks my heart when fleshy believers are all excited about prophecy and not excited about God convicting them of sin and making them more like Christ. Verse 11 of 2 Peter 3, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And look at this. Therefore, beloved, that's us believers, since you look for these things, and I hope you are looking for it. I hope this world is not your home. I hope this isn't it for you. Since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. We need to recognize that God does not give us his word to tantalize us, but to make us like Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how do we keep our hearts focused on heaven rather than here on earth?
You know, Dave, the world and our flesh will pull at us and try to convince us that we should eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord says that we should live sober lives. We should take every thought captive, be awaiting his return. And Dave, the way that you do this is by obeying what you know to be true in the context of genuine faith and a focus on Jesus Christ. In other words, whatever amount of truth that I have, I need to obey it. His word needs to dwell richly in our hearts. So I say, trust Jesus, and by his power, obey his word. And at the same time, to obey his word, we need to constantly be filling our hearts with his word, studying and listening to the teaching of the word of God. It's an ongoing process. It's never ending until he comes, and it's one that will keep your heart focused on Christ and the things of heaven rather than those things on earth.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.